It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast, right across your weekend as we cover the very latest in property news every morning. And we do that 7 days a week on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. And I trust the weekend at your place is going well. If you've been stepping outside of your place and into somebody else's place looking to buy across all of these auctions that have been taking place this weekend, I hope you were able to successfully navigate through all of that. It was another very busy week here on the Real Estate Breakfast, with today being Sunday, March the 17th. Of course, we kicked it off on Monday when we spoke to Scott Swingler in Perth about his beloved local beach line, City Beach. It isn't as expensive as other suburbs, and he tells us all about that in just a moment. Ben Horwood from Dromoyne and Concord in Sydney, he is keeping it real about his local suburbs. Alexandra Aki, we spoke to her in New South Wales about women in 2024 working in real estate and how the industry has changed. Midweek, we had this real estate video backlash after a Ray White agent was asked to remove a video because it caused offence. And it highlights for all real estate agents just to be a little bit careful when creating video content. And also this week, we caught up with Margaret Lomas once again, and she gives us a formula to a better mortgage rate. Well, at least to help you hopefully get a better mortgage rate, and a piece of advice that you might not have thought of before. So that is all coming up on our Sunday morning next.
Explore new property destinations where you could live with exclusive interviews covering real estate news and market insights.
Yeah, well and truly, we are a family business. We're all about the people and other families and helping them get into their next home or get into their first home or sell their existing, whatever it is that we can do to help. And the multi-generational side of it, I see a lot of it today where I'll be walking around on a Saturday at an open home and someone will come in and say, "Oh, are you Richard's son?" Yes, that's me. And they said, "Oh, how is Dad?" And I said, "Yeah, he's really good." And they said, "Oh, we bought our house off him in, 1987. It's around the corner." I said, "Oh, wow, that's, So we get a lot of that, and then it might be them coming out to have a look at the property to buy it for their children, because we have a very ingrained culture of around here where a lot of people like to sort of stay in the area once they've been born here. Mum and Dad are still here. Their family's here. They probably went to school here. They want to, put their children into those schools. They want to stay close to Mum and Dad. So we do find that we come across a lot of people that my dad or someone from the team had come across a long time ago, and their family is now looking to start their real estate journey in the area as well. So yeah, it's nice when that happens.
Yeah, it's a bit of a blessing when people don't want to move out of the area, as opposed to somebody where you're in an area where you can't wait to get out of. So it has this sort of waterfall effect. If you are where you are, repeat business, coming back to that whole loyalty aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's probably our biggest source of, lead generation or where our business comes from is a better term, is repeat and referral. We get most of our clients, are happy to outwardly refer us to their friends and family after having experiences with us. So we get a lot of business from that. And, I suppose as well, it's a testament to the area that we operate in and why it's become, one of Sydney's more prestige markets now, and the gentrification of it that's happened over the years, because people want to stay here and they're tied to this area because it's such a good place to live.
Yeah. Okay. So, and what about buyers? They're always coming internationally for these prestige properties. So you've no doubt got the Chinese, you've got other multinationals coming in. So migration is still sort of playing that card where you're seeing different nationalities?
Absolutely. And particularly of late, we had a very new wave of, you know, Asian clients coming into the marketplace that are looking to secure high-end properties. They've got big budgets. They want the good stuff. They like it either ready to be developed or brand new, not a lot in between. We are very much a multicultural melting pot here in this marketplace. We see a lot of clients from all different backgrounds, all different walks of life. And I think, again, it's what makes the authenticity and inclusiveness of this area so attractive to people, is that there's a little bit of culture here for everyone. You know, traditionally, it had a very strong undercurrent of Italian culture in a lot of the areas as well, a lot of Italian migrants early on. So our cafes and restaurants and the food around here is exceptional. And as well, you know, if you like your Asian food and Chinese and dumplings and so forth like that, there's some of the best in Sydney in this area, because there's so many different diverse ranges of people from different backgrounds that all of their food and culture and so forth is here in spades, and it's just such a great place to live.
If you're confused about the property market, don't be. Unlock and educate yourself with the latest trending analysis and interviews.
It's funny, Craig. We had one only yesterday. My staff read me an email that seemed a little bit suspicious. I think from memory, signed by a reverend, and there were elements to it that we thought we shouldn't open, so we deleted it. But I hadn't heard that people are losing business through deleting real emails, so that's interesting to hear. We do try and remain vigilant to all of that stuff.
Yeah, it's only going to get worse as time goes on. I mean, they just think of more cunning and, let's say, scumbaggy ways of taking your money out of your account. And then, unfortunately, not all the time, you know, banks don't always reimburse depending on the situation.
Yeah, look, it's an evolving world in that arena, and I guess we've all just got to stay on our toes, don't we? Yeah.
Stay on your toes, yeah, for sure. Make sure that you know, just be very, very vigilant. Stay vigilant. All right, so you're in City Beach there too, so we'll get to talking about City Beach in just a moment, but let's talk about your local market there. Surprise, surprise, lack of stock, and as a result of the lack of stock, you've got sales happening off market, and plenty of them by the sound of it.
Yeah, we do on market and off market. I mean, we're fortunate enough as an agency to have quite a lot of stock, but generally the market is tight with stock. Last night I had a first viewing for a property that is off market and hasn't come live, and we got three people through, and all three of them are presenting offers today. So that's the sort of environment over here, because people know what they want, can't find it, and if you can introduce them early, they're happy to participate. So buyers who are, you know, really want to put the front foot forward are putting their hand up and making themselves known to us, which makes it a lot easier for us to help them and try and join the dots behind the scenes, I guess.
Yeah, and if you look at last year, I think that it sort of swung a little bit, didn't it, towards the buyers. They had a little bit of wiggle room. They were able to put some terms and conditions into some contracts, but I think we're sort of past that point now, haven't we?
I think about June last year was the turning point for my specific market in City Beach, at least, where we saw the pendulum swing from being in favour of buyers, where it had been for over a decade, to really in favour of sellers. And you know, the suburb of City Beach and also wider Perth on a national scale are probably playing catch up with the East Coast, whose markets have run and doubled or even tripled in cases over the last 15 years while we've remained stagnant. So we're currently in a really serious state of flux in the market and trying to discover where it all ends, but it's quite an exciting time over here at the moment.
Remember, we are not a real estate company. We are 100% all about increasing your awareness and knowledge for buying and selling properties.
I couldn't tell you exact numbers, but it's increased tenfold. I mean, it was just unheard of to see a female agent in the late 90s, really. Yeah, now it's very commonplace. There's plenty of ladies absolutely nailing it, and it just is.
And also, what about women interacting with other women? Do you find that there's, statistically speaking, a number where women do prefer to interact with other female real estate agents?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just even in the last few months since we've returned from the Christmas break, we've had a couple of vendors who are single females that have either, you know, been through a divorce or they're looking to purchase their first property or sell for whatever reason, that have specifically wanted to deal with a female.
How does the industry, do you think, attract more women to become involved in the industry? I suppose that is like the $6 million question, isn't it, this morning?
I mean, one of the great things about real estate is that once you get to a point of being commission only, it really is running your own business within a business if you're not actually running your own business. So it can be quite good for flexibility with raising kids and attending, you know, kids sporting or assemblies and those sorts of things. That can be appealing. Yes, it's long hours and hard work if you want to be super successful, but you can kind of build your own workday to suit your schedule, which can obviously be appealing, and the pay that comes with that. If you need a month off, then you have a month off. If you want to really put your head down for the next, you know, 6 weeks and really smash it to meet some financial goals, you know, that's an option too. So really you can get as much out as you put in.
Now, I've got a real curly question here for you, Alexandra. This is a curveball. So here it comes. Now, you are a principal there. What's the split ratio between the boys and the girls that are working for you?
I've only got, out of 11 staff, I've got 3 boys.
Okay, all right.
And we love them.
So there you go. So there's a little bit of a weight towards women. And do you find, like, that's a really interesting point about real estate. It is a business within a business. You are really solely responsible for generating your own income. Nobody else is going to actually help you do that. Yes, you've got the guidance, the training, the support from somebody like yourself, but ultimately women have got to take their step up into generating the money.
100%. Yeah. Plenty of brand support, plenty of tools to allow you to do what you need to do. But yeah, the drive comes from within. So yes, you're right.
And do you find that women have this sort of hunger that the boys have for money?
Gee, that's a good question. Typically, maybe not as competitive. There's probably more of a focus on the client satisfaction and doing a really great job and reputation versus transactional. And I don't want to stereotype because not all guys are that way, but I would say it's less cutthroat between the ladies and maybe more of a collaborative and supportive approach.
Now, I think that that is code for women might be more caring.
anything they can do, we can do better, right? Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, absolutely. So with that in mind, how important is it to have working real estate women held up as role models, those working in leadership roles like yourself? And why is that important, do you think?
Well, it's so important to encourage women to continue to be attracted to this fantastic industry. The landscape has changed a lot in my 26 years, and it's a difficult industry to attract really great people because, you know, particularly in Canberra where we have public service competing heavily with private sector, it can be an easier role, not always, to our public servants that are listening, but it can be easier. And real estate, you really have to work pretty hard to continue to thrive. So I think that women supporting women to continue to do great things in this space is imperative.
Ready to take your real estate knowledge to the next level? So are we.
So what is all of this about and what are the lessons to be learnt? Well, here is a news clip courtesy of Radio New Zealand yesterday reporting on all of this as it unfolded.
Well, an Auckland real estate agent has been given a formal warning by her employer, Ray White, after posting a TikTok video of herself giving a sales pitch using a fake Asian accent. Now, the woman, who is of Asian descent, also says she'll do cleaning and cooking for potential buyers. The video circulated for more than a week before it was removed following a complaint. Our reporter Lucy Shia has the story.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's Lynn Yee here again. And today I bring to you this wonderful opportunity to own this 1940s bungalow situated...
That's award-winning real estate agent Lynn Yee speaking in a video about a Sandringham house. But she takes on a different persona in this TikTok video marketing the same property.
Hi, it's Lynn Yee, also known as Lynn Yee from the very wise Epsom. You want to sell house, you call me anytime.
The video shows Lynn Yee offering to do a range of household chores for potential buyers. One scene shows her sweeping the deck and another crouching down to clean the floor.
I am Ling Ling. You pay me a good price, I also get dirty for you.
And then she wanders to the kitchen.
And when I sell your home, good price, I also make you dinner. See, peanut butter jelly, I make for you.
The video ends with the agent saying, "Love you long time," a line from the movie Full Metal Jacket, in which a Vietnamese sex worker solicits American soldiers. This Auckland woman who complained to Ray White says she felt deeply offended by the video.
What she was doing really proliferates, you know, stereotypes against Southeast Asian women. And as someone who is of, you know, Asian descent, it was just really disappointing and sad to see.
She says it normalises racism.
This is leading to more acceptance and apathy on, you know, normalising racism in our society. And it is quite disappointing to see that Ray White doesn't really have any formal procedures and policies for their real estate agents to be basically posting whatever they want on social media.
Lynn Yee wouldn't do a recorded interview, but told RNZ she had no idea how much the video would offend people when all she was doing was mocking herself. She says on reflection, she realises speaking English with a fake Asian accent was wrong. Ray White Epsom's director Nick Lyer says Miss Yee has been given a formal warning about the video, which was taken down as soon as the company was made aware of it. Ray White says it doesn't vet all its staff's social media posts, but does monitor them regularly. Nick Lyer says the company is committed to giving all its employees cultural sensitivity and anti-discrimination training.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
If you see a bank cut their fixed rates, and you need to look at what terms they're cutting it over. So banks will have fixed rates from 1 to 5 years, and there'll be a different fixed rate depending on the term that you're taking it for. It's a reliable indication that for that period of time, they expect that you will pay more interest to them on that fixed rate than you would if you stayed on variable. So if they're cutting their fixed rate for whatever period they're cutting that for, that would mean to me that they expect that during that time, the variable rates will dip lower than that fixed rate. So it's an indication of what they're thinking. If I can get a fixed rate 0.5% lower than my variable, I can expect during that fixed rate term that my variable is going to come down more than 0.5%. That's what the bank is thinking. So if I stayed on my variable, I might initially be paying that little bit more than the fixed rate. But at some point, the bank's expecting the variable to come down low enough under the fixed rate so that overall the interest paid during that term is going to be less on the variable than on the fixed rate. I never, ever fix a rate if they're going down low like that, unless they're so low that I can do some calculations. Quick example, when banks were cutting their fixed rates right down to below 2%, and I at the time was on about 4.5, I worked out that I needed something like 10 interest rate cuts to beat what I already had on my variable, and it was worthwhile going the fixed at that point in time. That in my entire career investing, and it's now more than 25 years, that was the only time in 25 years that the fixed rates provided a viable option. Generally, they don't, and generally a fixed rate cut tells you mortgage rates are going down.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.